Catholic priests is the topic I wish to discuss with you in the short time that we have, and it's a most interesting topic, and it is something that the Catholic Church takes great pride in, their priests, and the power that the priests have, they say, through their sacraments, that really is stupendous, and they really clearly in their teaching they declare these things. First of all, the priest's power in baptism, when he baptizes a baby and he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he pours water over the baby's forehead, and then he says in the ceremony that this child has been born again, and that is the official teaching of the Catholic Church. There has a regeneration has gone on, and the person is truly a Christian, so they say. This is still in their official teaching. For example, in the Code of Canon Law, Canon 849, they declare that emphatically about being born again and regenerated by the sacrament of baptism, and that's what the priest does in baptizing babies. And then when it comes to the anointing with chrism, we have the sacrament called confirmation. When young people and adults are confirmed, they are said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an amazing power that they claim, that when the bishop, in this case a priest who has become a bishop, and anoints a young person with chrism on their forehead, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, an amazing power for the priesthood. The priesthood as seen in the power of the archbishop or bishop, who is like a fully fledged priest. They become an archbishop or a bishop, and they have entered like the full power of the priesthood. And this is given in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you wish to check it for yourself, it's easy to check it online. It's paragraph 1316 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And then the amazing power that priests are said to have, that they can absolve people from their sins. I remember my 21 years as a priest in Trinidad, West Indies, and I would hear confessions every Saturday. People would queue up and come to confession, and then I would say in Latin, I absolve you from all your sins, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ego te absolvo, omnibus peccatus tuus, in omni patris, et filio, et spiritus sancto. This was what I said as I did the sign of the cross from the confession box to the Catholic. And it was said that the Catholic's sins were forgiven, as I said, the formula. And it's still the same today. And then the most amazing thing of all, that at the Catholic Mass, the priest has the power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. So it is claimed. For example, in saying the words over the bread, this is my body, those words, that the bread ceases to be bread and becomes the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, his soul and divinity, becomes totally who Christ is. So they say these four words, this is my body. And I remember again in the olden days before Vatican Council II, like before Vatican Council II, we gave the absolution in Latin. Before Vatican Council II, Mass was said in Latin, and I remember back in those days, hoc est enim corpus meum. That was the Latin words that I said so often at Mass and heard them when I was growing up in Dublin, Ireland, and later on when I was training for the priesthood, finishing in Rome, Italy. Hoc est enim corpus meum. This is my body. And so these amazing powers that the Catholic priest is purported to have, when you examine them in the light of Scripture, you will see that it is no church that saves, it's no ritual of any church, it is solely the power of God. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but should have everlasting life. It's God. It's not any ritual. It's not any ceremony of any church. And you see that what has been taught in Catholicism is the age-old deceit that physical rituals or ceremonies can give spiritual life. That's what pagans believed of old, in olden times, that physical rituals can have an absolute change in people's spiritual lives. This is just a age-old fantasy that is in no way seen in any page of Scripture. Nonetheless, the Catholic Church goes on to emphasize really emphatically the power that they say the priests have. And I'm reading now from the New Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 983, exact words. The Catholic priests have received a power from God that he has given neither to angels nor archangels. God confirms what priests do here below. God has given power to priests. The Catholic Church says that he gave neither to angels nor archangels, and that God confirms what Catholic priests do here below. That is really a startling statement when you think of all the horrors that we have seen across the world since the Boston Globe published the, first of all, the immorality of the priesthood, and then it was taken up by other newspapers, and it was taken up by all types of news agencies, and it went across the world by the internet and by many other means, radio and television. The horrors that the Catholic priesthood has had in the pedophilia and in the immorality of his priests. And so to say that God confirms what priests do here below is horrendous, because we know what many priests have done is not anything that God would confirm or God would despise. So we see that when we examine the pages of Scripture, it is quite interesting that there are priests in the Old Testament, and some of the priests in the Old Testament are mentioned in the New Testament, because there was mentioned that the Levitical priesthood had come to an end, but there's no Christian priest in the New Testament of Scriptures. When the church was established, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul and other writers of the New Testament, laid out the way in which the church should be governed by pastors, that is elders and deacons. There's no mention of priests as serving or ministering in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament concept, as an Old Testament fact. They are not in the New Testament. Nonetheless, Catholics live looking to the Catholic priests for things in their life and how they should live and what they should think. I know it's quite interesting in our ministry where people email and say that they've watched an interesting video or read an interesting article of ours, and they've taken it to their priest to see if it's right or wrong. The priest is the main figure, the authority figure of the ordinary Catholic, and it is the way Catholicism is lived. And they say that a Catholic has to take the sacraments from the priest. It's a long journey through the sacraments and prayer to Mary and prayer to the saints, and a long journey that the Catholic takes until they, if they're dying and they call in the priest, they get extra unction, the final sacrament from the priest, and then hopefully they can land at least in purgatory, which is just a pseudo hell. There's no such place as purgatory, but the Catholic Church talks about the souls in purgatory, and many of the masses that the priest says are masses for the souls in purgatory. But there's no such place as purgatory, but the Catholic Church nonetheless has this idea. So what hope is there for Catholics? That the best you can do is hope to land in purgatory. It's heaven and hell, as the Lord Jesus Christ says so clearly in the pages of the New Testament. We have to believe on Him whom God has sent. That is the will of God. It is not looking to any church or any minister of a church, but is looking to Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So how are we to deal with priests? How would our Lord Jesus Christ deal with priests if we could ask that question? Well, we see how our Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the Pharisees of his own day. The Pharisees were quite similar to modern Catholics. They believed in their ceremonies. They believed in tradition as well as the written word of God, and they believed in the things that they could do to please God. And Christ Jesus in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel says a really strong word to them. He said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Very, very strong word that Christ said to the Pharisees. We had to believe in Him whom God has sent. Believe that Christ Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one who came to save His people from their sins. When we trust on Him, we are freed from looking to any minister or any church. We are in Him, receiving everlasting life. And Jesus said on the night before He died, on a beautiful prayer, that they may know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ. I beg your pardon, Christ. Jesus said the night before He died, He said, Thine they were and Thou gavest them to Me. He talked about the believers. Thine they were and Thou gavest them to Me. The believers were the fathers, and He gave them to Christ Jesus. And this is everlasting life, He said, that they may know Thee, that they may know Thee and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. That we may know the Father and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. I'm sorry for getting a little bit over enthusiastic here, but it is a joy to me to know what everlasting life is. It's knowing the Father, it's fellowshipping with Him. How beautiful the words of the apostle in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter, I beg your pardon, chapter 8 and 15. This is that we may know him as our Abba Father, the Spirit testifying to our spirit that we are children of God. Again, how wonderful it is that we cry out, Abba Father. We fellowship with the Father and the Son. This is everlasting life. And in our prayer life, what a joy it is to share everlasting life. That is who our God is. And this is the message we give to Catholics. I'm asking you now, if you are a Catholic, can you say that you obey Christ Jesus' command to believe on him and him alone? Can you say that I have trusted on Christ alone? What Christ said to the Pharisees applies to you. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that Christ Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one who saves, no church, no institution. If you do not believe that he is with the Father, one true God, and the Holy Spirit, you will die in your sins. If you believe in some ritual to make you right, if you believe in some ritual, words said over you in the confession box to forgive you your sins, you will die in your sins. If you believe that four words said over a piece of bread give you the true body and blood of Christ, and the words said over the wine that you have received Christ in the element by a physical ritual of the Mass, reenacting the sacrifice of Calvary, continuing it, if you believe that, and not that the Lord's Supper is just a memorial, we remember, do this in memory of me, as the Lord said. If your thoughts are on what the Catholic Church believes and not on the message that Christ Jesus gave, that he is the one, that we believe on him and him alone by God's grace through faith, and that we are secure in him because we have trusted on him. And to God be the glory as we fellowship with him and the Father as we know him. If you do not believe that, you will die in your sins. That is a horrific statement, but it is true. You will die in your sin if you have not just simply trusted in Christ alone by God's grace through faith. And this is what I say to you now. I was a Catholic priest myself for 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies, and 1 year I was a priest in Rome, finishing my studies at the Angelicum University in Rome. And there are quite a number of other men who were priests who have come to biblical faith. I have published a book called Far From Rome, Near to God, The Testimonies of 50 Converted Catholic Priests. This book is an amazing book because since 1994 it has gone across many, many nations of the world, and many, many people have read it. It's not only in English, it's in other languages as well that has been published. And this copy that I have in front of me is the third edition of the book in English. And when we open the contents page, we see the first testimony is Bob Bush. His testimony is called Once a Jesuit, Now a Child of God. Bob Bush, a beloved brother in the Lord, died just about a year and a half ago. He had lived in near San Jose in California, an American. The second testimony in the book is Dominic Stockford. He's British. I met him once when I was visiting in London. His testimony is called Life After the Catholic Priesthood. Dominic has a great heart to share the gospel message with Catholics and others. He has his own church and he preaches and teaches the true message of salvation from the scriptures. The third testimony in this book of 50 former priests is Cuthbert Diswingari. He is from Zimbabwe and his testimony is amazing. He is a priest. He was a priest in the Catholic Church. He was awakened by the power of God and he came to biblical faith. He is a wonderful credit to God now as he gives the gospel message. We get text messages from cell phone from him, and as he goes out giving the gospel in different country areas across that nation, and it is amazing to see just how the Lord has used him. His testimony is called Rescued by the Grace of God. And so indeed was he. The fourth testimony of this book is Joseph Tremblay, a Canadian, a priest but a stranger to God. And we could go on and on. These priests from different nations coming to realize that their priesthood didn't mean anything. There is only one priesthood in the New Testament, and that is the high priesthood of Christ Jesus. There are no priests. You're in an office that doesn't exist in the New Testament. And to see these men who purportedly were Catholic priests come to biblical salvation is such a joy. I thank the Lord that the book, far from Rome Near to God, the testimonies of 50 converted Catholic priests, has been used by the Lord for these many, for many, many years, since 1994 when it was first published. In recent times there have been others that are not in the book. Richard Zeffelu from California, he has a wonderful story as a former priest. I have a whole DVD made with him just speaking about the joy of what it is to know the gospel message. In the book you will see that as you go through testimony after testimony, you will see that the nation of Italy had more former priests than other nations. There are more Italian priests that whose testimonies are recorded. Italians who've come to know the Lord. And I'm really happy that as we speak over the internet, that this program goes out to Italy and to the other nations of Europe, and it goes out throughout the world. And it is lovely to get messages, sometimes email messages, from somebody in other nations. Sometimes I get a quick email and the person says, well, you know, I'm here and I really don't speak English too well. It's Croatian is my language. Please let me hear from you. And then I reply and I say to the person, I was happy to get their message. And if they want to write in Croatian or Italian or French or Portuguese or Slovakian or Hungarian, whatever the language is, we will reply in their own languages. And I thank God for the brothers I have in different nations whereby we can reply to emails in different languages. So it would be a great joy if I heard from some Italian priest maybe. I have been amazed that we have heard from former priests that we didn't know of. One day by email I received a message from a former priest now in California. And he was telling me how he had come from a Polish background and how he came to the Lord. So it is just a joy to our heart to see it continues. Not just the priests we have in the book, the former priests, but others are coming to the Lord. And we try to put these on our webpage. We haven't got them all up there, but we try to keep publishing the testimonies of former priests on our webpage. Now, what did I do after my 22 years as a priest, 48 as a Catholic? I trusted on Christ alone. I trusted on Him alone. I trusted what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I trusted that God would give me, by His power, the ability to believe by His grace, and that I would know Christ and have peace with Him. And that He did gloriously. And I have given account of my salvation many times on many different videos, so I don't have to go over it again, but it's been the same with other former priests. And it is always a joy to hear from another former priest. And if you are a priest listening to this and you have some questions, well, email us. My email address will be on the screen, and it is quite simply Richard M. Bennett. The M is for Michael, my middle name, so Richard M. Bennett at yahoo.com, and this will also be on your screen. You can email me, and it's always a joy to hear, and it's a joy for those who work together, who make these programs, because we do so, you know, putting things together for ourselves, and it is sometimes difficult to get things organized, but for the brothers who work with me, it's always a joy that I can tell them that I've heard from somebody who responded to a program. So just email, and if you have questions, if you're just a Catholic, email, and we will reply to you personally. And turn to God for His faith that He gives you as a gift by His grace, because of that alone you are saved by grace, and that you would know that you are secure in Christ Jesus. And the power and wonder, not just to come beyond the Catholic priesthood and all ceremonials that purport to have power, but to come into Christ Jesus. And you say with the scriptures, not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thee be power and glory and majesty. You begin to worship God alone, because He gloriously saves us. And I can say this knowing many of the former priests and having spoken to quite a number of them, that it is always a joy to know of a Catholic coming to the Lord, and to see that the Lord does set His people free. And to Him be the glory, the praise, the worship, and the honor, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.